Good evening. I want to thank everybody for making it out this evening. I've asked Brother Mark to be a reader because he doesn't need a microphone. Before I begin, I just want to say how thankful I am for the union that I've had here at South Valley. I can't thank the men enough for being so helpful and kind and generous. I remember years ago always praying for God to send men in my life who would be an influence. I remember, you know, when I was so weak, I always wanted someone else to look up to, someone else to guide me, someone else that I knew, whatever I knew, wasn't what I should be following. And it's so funny that, you know, years later, I see that he's always showered me with that. He's always put those things in place, and I didn't even see it. It's not until you look back, you know, it's amazing how you pray for things and you have them and you don't even realize it sometimes. I noticed, Bruce, you had about one or two pages last week. I have a few more than that. So we're going to try to work something miraculous here and get through this. It's basically a lot of text, but some of it's redundant, things that we hear often, but things that we need to be reminded of. So we'll kind of run through that. I'll kind of get right in it and move along pretty quick. I recently heard that people can retain about 3,500 words a minute. So we're going to test that out tonight. All right. So as a Christian, there's a lot of things that we're instructed to do, a lot of things that we're told to watch out for. And I know many have probably thought, you know, it seems like a lot and it could be overwhelming. Tonight we're just kind of going to touch on some basics, and I'm going to be probably cutting a little of this as we go along. So hopefully it doesn't sound like it's out of place. I want to start with a scripture that I had already picked out and we had for our scripture today. Imagine that. It's Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's a powerful scripture there. That's something that, you know, in my mind, I imagine that Christ still would want to come. And when he looks in on us, see that this is exactly what we're doing, standing firm in one spirit and in one mind. We've only got one gospel, one truth, and that unites us. It makes us one. So the first thing we're going to look at is love. Love is the greatest. So we're told that we must demonstrate the love of God. And we must demonstrate in our lives that love, not only to our Christian family, but to those who are not of the family of faith as well. So we'll take a look at a couple of scriptures that show us about love. Sometimes people ask, how do we get the love of God? And, you know, where does that come from? And how does that manifest in my life? So we'll look at, let's see, Romans 5 and 5.
And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
So God gives us that love. That love is given to us by God. So that means he would have the right to expect us to have his love and to treat others, you know, with the love that he has, because he gave it to us. Another verse is one that I'm sure we're all familiar with. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind of known as the love verse. We'll go through that. I know myself personally, you don't always go back to verses that you kind of know well and you've heard often. So we'll kind of touch on that. But as we read these things tonight, and a lot of it will be scripture, I'm praying that you will have your heart open to receive these things, because I know that the way God has worked in my life, putting this word into my heart and into my life, it almost transforms me instantly into that which I read. And it also gives me power and victory in this world and in this life. That's something I pray and wish everyone would have. So 1 Corinthians 13, and then we'll go 1 through 7.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Verse 13 also.
Verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
So that's who we are. You know, when you look at love, or you say you love, or you use that word, that's basically what you're saying. It's the epitome of those things. That's God's description of love. So that's what must become our description of love. It must become the way that we see love and know love. And that's, you know, what we should be putting back out into the world. And everybody that we meet, everybody that we touch, they should feel that when they meet us, when they see us. Sometimes you don't even have to speak. Just the way you carry yourself, just the way that you might run to grab something for them, or to lift something, or to do something. This is what Christ was, and this is what we are to be. 1 John 3:17, I'm going to read that. If anyone with earthly possessions sees his brother in need and withholds his compassion from him, how can the love of God abide in him? 18, little children, let us not love in word and in speech, but in action and in truth. And by this we know that we belong to the truth and will assure our hearts of his presence. This is something that's going to be throughout this lesson. And he says this, and we'll assure in our hearts. Every day, for every person who considers himself to be a Christian, you should be searching your heart to make sure that's who you are, that somehow you haven't kind of slipped off or kind of been deceived in some way and forgotten, you know, who you are. It's not hard to do. Okay? Another attribute is our worship to God. John 4:24, it tells us that we must worship in spirit and truth. We also know that we must be forgiving of others, that we also might be forgiven. Colossians 3:13, bearing one another, forgiving one another. Who has a complaint, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiving isn't an option. It's never an option. If somehow we believe forgiving is an option, then we're not having an understanding of what God is teaching us through his word. That's how easy it is to forgive. There is no other alternative. You just do it. There's no other choice. Matthew 6:14 and Ephesians 4:32 speaks the same. God only needs to say that once, but he does repeat that so that we can get that, so that we know that. He ties it to us understanding that we ourselves cannot be forgiven, which usually kind of impacts most people. All right, we must be seeking wisdom from above, not worldly things, right? Not books that men write and movies that men make, which don't have the truth of God in their hearts. James 1:5.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
So we have a relationship with God. We obviously want to know who God is. We also want to be closer to God. The most intimate that we can be, he tells us, would be through the wisdom and knowledge of him, who he is. So he says that we can openly ask him for that at any time. So that's granted. We should be doing that always, constantly. Galatians 5, we're looking at now the spiritual person's fruit. Only a Christian has the Spirit of God, and these fruits are of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. As you go through this walk with God, and if you allow him to do the work that he's doing and has done, these things will manifest in your life. You will see them. They will be evident. These are not things that we do. This is the difference between a true child of God and somebody in the world. The true child of God this is a gift. This is given to him. The person in the world has to work to try to be a good person. And they also believe that their righteousness is attached to that work, and that's why they do those things. Because I love God, because I know who he is, because I know what he's done for me, I, in turn, reciprocate by loving him and giving him my all. And these things become mine as well. Confess our sins to one another. Pray for one another. The prayers of the righteous have a great working power. Just this morning, I was sitting here, we were doing communion, and I got a cramp in my back. And I don't know how many of you know, cramps don't relent. Once it comes, it's there. You're going to have to give in to it. So I said, well, I'm holding communion. There's no way I'm going to do what I need to do, which is to bend or to stretch or to do whatever. So I prayed. And that cramp went away. I have seen the power of prayer, not only in my life, but in countless numbers of others. Prayer is powerful. We cannot neglect prayer. We have situations that are in our life that need to be dealt with. Our first line that we take is prayer. And then the prayers of the brethren combined is tremendous. We've got to utilize that. We must all be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks about our hope within. 1 Peter 3:15. You can read that with gentleness and respect. If for us to be able to do what this verse is saying, we actually have to study the word. We have to actually learn God's word to be able to make a defense. I can't make a defense if I don't have any knowledge or wisdom to explain to someone why I have this hope. That's the opportunity why God calls us, so that when there's someone else in our circle that needs to hear that truth, that we're able to go ahead and give them that.
But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Thank you. We must be devoted to keeping the Lord's commands without it being a burden. 1 John 5:3. I think this is only one time that God says this, that we're to serve him without it being burdensome. When I finally found that verse, I can't tell you the bell that went off inside of me, because I already knew that. I was waiting to hear that. Because the love and the excitement and the joy that I have to praise God, to worship God, to be amongst my family, to be doing the things that are now not under my will, but under his. There's a joy that comes from that. When we do what God says, there's reciprocation back from him that is spiritual, but we will know it to be real. And that's what we get. You know, that's that tuning fork inside of us, that spirit that we know that this is absolutely true. That strengthens our faith. That encourages us so that we can go and encourage others and strengthen them in whatever they might be going through as well. We must always be watchful for false teachers. You know, this is really prevalent for us today. It was certainly going on in Bible times, but it's probably, you know, 10,000-fold today. We must always be watchful for false teachers. I'm just going to use a couple of verses. Actually, I'm going to read one, Romans 16 and 17. Because God gives us some signs that we should watch out for. He says, avoid those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine of Christ. A little further down in verse 19, Paul says, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. You have to be able to know what is good and what's bad and what's evil. Anything contrary to God, nature is evil. If it isn't of God, who is it from? 2 Peter 2:10 and 22 also gives us many signs, but I'm going to ask you to read that. No, you don't have to read it, but I'm going to ask that everyone read it later. We must keep the faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Hebrews 11 and 6. Keep the faith now. We certainly have help here. We see a lot of things going on in Hebrews 11. My brother always calls this the hall of faith. This is where it talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God has certainly provided some faith-building insight here. You remember Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah? according to Scripture, these all died in faith. About verse 17, it says Abraham was tried. And those who know the story know the sacrifice that was before him. And even today, in knowing these things, we struggle with getting in our car and driving with the air or the heat on to do what God said to do, to be assembled with the saints every time we meet. It would probably take a couple hours just to really get into that so that people actually understand. And this is my prayer, that somehow that the saints have an ability or a way to get true and accurate teaching, the things that are going to help them grow and to be a better saint, because tomorrow is not promised. We cannot leave here in a condition that God did not intend for us to leave. He's given us everything, 2 Peter 1:3. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, we have it. We've got everything to win. He's given us Jesus. He's given us the sacrifice. All we've got to do is apply ourselves. You know, faith isn't even ours. The faith that we have is from him. That blew me away when I learned that. It's not even my faith. The things that I believe are from him. He gave them to me. All I have to do is grasp them and hold on to them and then do what they show me to do. That's amazing how much he loves us and all the things he's doing to get us back home to him. We got to understand that sacrifice is the crux of faith. There's going to be some sacrifice. So in Hebrews 11, that's what we see. We see people who made the ultimate sacrifice. We're not talking about just being in attendance on a Wednesday or a Sunday. These sacrifices that they were called to make go well beyond getting in a comfortable motor car and traveling a few minutes. These things came at great cost. And that's why they're recorded. But our recorder is running right now. Each and every day, our recorder is running. What you do, what I do, what we think, where we go, what we choose. We know the truth. He's given it to us. Do we understand that we are living, I just said that, I'm sorry, our report. These servants certainly did, and that's did what they were told, and that's why they were recorded for all time, because of their faith. They let nothing prevent them from remaining faithful to God, no matter what. Will we be able to say the same? Love, we didn't enter into a human agreement. Our oath is with God. It's a divinely sovereign agreement, and it is binding. So we must never give up. We must never give in. We do exactly what they did. We walk the same path that they did before us. We hold on to his hand until there's no more breath in our bodies. We walk in a land that that others cannot see. We have a hope that they can't even understand, all by keeping the faith. Philippians 1:28, but I'm not going to do that. I wanted to go back across that scripture again. there's two things I wanted to focus on tonight, but we'll probably get to one. They both have the ability to shipwreck our faith, and they allow us to miss the mark completely, and sometimes we're unaware of these things. The scriptures we'll look over are going to deal with our lustful desires, our affections of our flesh. My hope is always that every heart is open and able to hear the Lord, not the person standing here before you. If a person is standing here as a representative of God's word, all he should be speaking is God's word. Amen. So whatever I'm saying, you should hear him through these words. Because if you compare me to Bruce, boy, you'd get up in 5 minutes. So through scripture, we'll look at these things. Everything we do in our new life should be to the glory of God. As Brother Craig brought up last week, there's over 1,000 commands in the New Testament. It's funny because I looked that up the week before he said that. And it's about 1,013. I said, people were going crazy about the 613 in the Old Testament. Okay. So we have over 1,013. I'm going to tell you how to make these very easy and very simple for you. All right. First is our association with the world. What does the word of God say? Romans 12 and 2.
Be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. OK. Okay, so we're going to start moving now. Now, one of the biggest battles we have in the church today is dealing with this. And this only matters to us. This doesn't matter to anybody else on the planet but a child of God. Hear these verses as we read them. They really speak for themselves. Okay, James 4 and 4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
So when I hear that, I want to explain that. I want to make sure that every person present understands what he just said. But I'm going to finish these little grouping here, and then we'll do that. You go ahead and get 1 John 2:15 through 17. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. James 1:27. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That is the biggest problem that we have in the body of Christ. We're having a hard time discerning between what we can and can't do as Christians. And it shouldn't be that hard, because faith is based on the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Why would it be difficult? I'm here because of my faith in what he said. So what he said is what I can do. My total allegiance is to God through his son and the things that he taught. And because of that, I know exactly how to live my life if I read and study his word. You ready?
All right. Love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the love of the flesh, the love of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen.
God is unyielding in these things. He's unyielding because he already told us what his judgment would be based on. We cannot mix with the world. We're going to look in a second and see why. These things should have no appeal in our hearts. We're set apart. John 17:17. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're set apart by the truth. He takes you and puts you to the side, okay, apart from everybody in the world. It's just you, the saved, the people that will live with him eternally, forever. And you want to leave that circle and go back and participate in some of the things that you were doing before. What did Bruce say this morning? What was that? 11 and 4 of Numbers. And they came out of Israel, and they said, but wait, we had fish back in Israel. You were in captivity for 400 years, which, by the way, is a symbol of our life today. You were in captivity for 400 years. I've freed you. And this is what's on your mind? See, you're not getting it. You're missing it. And that's what's happening today. We're missing it. If we take our focus off what this word is teaching us and allow it to saturate and to permeate our lives, we will drift back into these areas. These little things will work themselves into our hearts. And it only takes a tiny little thing. Satan knows what he's doing. He's been at it for a long time. And there's only one person that I believe that he hasn't made sin. So don't take the adversary lightly. When we allow this door to be open, we risk everything. We risk losing our fellowship with God, along with our ability to hear and understand the Lord. This is how it happens and how it begins. We lose our ability to understand and hear the Lord. So now you're reading scripture, you're attending a Bible study, you're coming to church, but you can't hear the Lord anymore because you've already turned over your affections to the things that he said not to. You've broken your connection to God's Spirit to feed you truth, to keep you safe from hell. That's how it works. It always has. If you go all the way back to Adam, if you go into Genesis, what was it, 24? Yeah. Yeah. And you get that. And then when, you know, he tells them, God has been saying the same thing over and over, generation after generation after generation. It's going to be worse for us because we now have all the records and can see everything that has happened. What would be my reason or excuse? What could I say? You have it? 24. Well, it's when they return, they call on the name of the Lord again.
And Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And she said, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enoch. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
The same cycle has been going on. We've got to be wise because we have all of the knowledge and information to be everything that God desires us to be. He's already told us in 1 Timothy 2:3-4, he desires that all people are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't miss that little caveat. Not just saved, get in and reserve yourself a seat, but that you come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is the understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if he is Lord, he has rights and reigns over everything you do. He owns you. But understand, that's the condition for an eternity with him. We know that. So we don't allow anything to talk you out of that. 2 Corinthians 13:5. We must always, I want you to read that too, but we must always be on guard by examining ourselves.
Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
So he just put the burden back on you. Nobody's going to come to your house and knock on the door and say, hey, Dick, notice you've been missing some services, and we know you talk a good game, but guess what? It's not going to happen. The only thing that you have to correct your life and to make you right with God is the Word of God. But if you forsake that, you're probably already in trouble. This is paramount to our life. I've been around the Church of Christ a long time, a long period of it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on, but I was there and I heard a lot of things. And I remember a lot of things that were taught. And I remember the discipline and the truths that were taught. And that the person in the Church of Christ knew the Word of God. You could stop any one of them anywhere on the street and you're about to have a serious Bible discussion because these people were equipped. That has to be the same until we leave here. It can't ever change. But we know who's working hard, right, to make sure that we don't maintain that we don't keep that love for God. Bruce mentioned that today in Revelations, that we have to remain in our first love. That's what Jesus' expectation is. I hope we can see how important this is, that we all walk in a manner that's consistent with God's word. It's very easy to slip back into those old patterns when we don't keep watch for the adversary, who is hard at work to discredit all that God has said. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine unto them.
So that's his work. That's what Satan's doing. That's his goal. That's his agenda. It's not hidden. God revealed it so you can see it. But he also gave you the plan to succeed and to have victory over anything that Satan would try. When we look at Romans 6, we see exactly who we are and where we should be each and every day that we wake up. He shows us how sin has no longer, or how sin is no longer our master. All right? And how we knew that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I want you to see this from God's perspective. When we went down in that water, when we made that commitment, your heart is circumcised. You are changed. You are quickened. You're given the Holy Spirit. You are now able to no longer be a victim or helpless in sin, in the face of sin. You have everything within you to stand. That's what God has given us. The only way that we go back from that is if we choose ourselves to override the Spirit and to do those things, to do the things that would be pleasing to our flesh, to do the things that I like. I'm supposed to be serving His will, not my will. When Christ had to make a very tough decision, He prayed to God, and nevertheless, Your will, right? Not my will. That's got to be our same position. I'm sure you know that that's what the Lord said, and that's exactly what He means. He says it again elsewhere. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, meaning, will now be according to the things that I read, not the things that I feel or want or think. We're not ruled by our flesh, not by our emotions, not by our feelings. We're ruled by what's written. As I said in the beginning, I know what to do because of what's written. That's my source, not my feelings, not my emotions. That's how we get into trouble. As a servant of Christ, I'm not on my program any longer. It's not about my will. It's all about His. Matthew 7:21 is a sobering scripture. It should let everybody know that God means what He says.
Not everyone that cometh unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
So we know this is a spiritual battle. And because it's a spiritual battle, we're fighting with everything that we got to stay on the course that He set for us. I pledge to become a living example of the text, Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice. I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me, Galatians 2:20. We also know that those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. This actually doesn't really need expounding, right? He's explaining it right there. When He crucified the flesh, He also took the desires, the passions. Those are gone too. How do they come back? How do I now turn into a person that I got to do this? I love this. I got to be here. I want to go do what everyone else is doing in the world. That's not our focus. Romans 6 really does make it clear. We became a slave of that which we obey. The danger can begin when one wrong affection turns into another and another. James 1:14. We looked at this morning in the Bible study. I'm going to summarize it. This is how it all begins when we don't filter our desires. The things that dominate our lives must be spiritual things. Why? Because we're spiritual beings now. We're no longer in that normal, carnal, sinful nature. That's not what rules us anymore. That's not what drives me every day when I get up. It used to. I used to live for the exciting things and the things that brought me pleasure. Now I actually get joy from the spiritual things in my life. That's what helps me to know that I'm in the place that I need to be. That's where we all have to be. If they haven't had not the things that are pleasing to my or our flesh nature because they've been crucified. If they haven't, we have a huge contradiction in our understanding. James speaks about this man who is double-minded. He's unstable in all of his ways. He becomes unstable because he cannot discern right from wrong. You're hearing the word, you're attending study, but for you, just as soon as you hear the word, you just also decided you're not going to give up that thing that may be in question. God's word is defining a path for us. Walk in that path. That's where our safety is. James 1:22, the Bible says that this person is deceived. Why? Because he is only a hearer. And the Bible lets us know that only those who actually do the word of God are not deceived. Remember, He removed this sin nature. He circumcised our heart. He gave us His Spirit. We now have been made servants of righteousness, which leads to holiness and sanctification. when observed in the original language, I hope I'm saying that right, hagiosmos, that's a state. A lot of people, when we talk about this, and I've talked about this for years with brethren, that's a state. It's not a process. A lot of people believe it's a process. When God did what he did in us, it isn't a process. It's done. It means if you are walking in that path, you will stay righteous. But if you deviate from that path, then you will not remain righteous. The minute you begin to sin, you now start sowing those seeds of sin again. It takes over on its own. You can't stop it. It's who you will your spirit to obey. Now, here's something really interesting. When God does that, when he changes us, when he opens us and gives us a new heart, he puts us back in the garden. I've heard for years how people blame Adam and Eve for what they did, and it wasn't fair. He put me back in the garden. Now it's my choice. Now I have to choose. Am I going to continue to walk in his righteousness and obey him? Or am I going to yield to my flesh and go back to the ways of that old man? That's what happened in the garden. But we have full knowledge and full capability to have a successful walk in Christ Jesus through the victory that he's already won. My salvation is secure by the most faithful and true being there is. You ever heard people when they say God will never forsake them? No one can snatch them out of his hand? Guess what? Most people walk away. He's not going to forsake his word. He's not going to forsake his promise. You're right. Nothing can take us out of his hand. But me. If I choose those things which he has said not to, we're back in the garden again. Right? That's all it's ever going to come down to is choice. Except this time he's empowered us in victory and given us everything that we need to be victorious till death. These are so dangerous that they can affect a whole congregation. One little error comes in, and next thing you know, the entire congregation is partaking in that same thing. The whole reason we're here in worship is to praise God the way that he commands. It's to praise and worship him the way that he commands, not do things according to what we like or what we desire. So this is why he has said, you are my friend if I know you love me if you keep my commands. John 14:15 and John 15:14. Here in Las Vegas, many people say they have more temptations. It's a little bit harder for them to be successful in their Christian walk. Well, I want to tell you that nothing this here in Las Vegas is more powerful than the love and the blood of Christ. Nothing at all. This is a spiritual battle. It will remain a spiritual battle. Satan is after your heart, and he's going to come at your heart by your own desires, by your own affections. We talked about that this morning in the Bible study. So since you know that's what he's coming after, you have to take those things off the shelf. You have to remove those things so he has no more power over you. You're able to walk a righteous walk with God the way that he says. His desire, or Satan, is to make you rebellious towards the obedience of God. That's why we have a problem with showing up for meetings when God said, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. I think it's interesting how he didn't say, don't forsake Sunday or don't forsake Wednesday. He put it all together. Don't forsake. Whenever you're coming together, you don't have permission to forsake it. That means he wants all of his children together as much as possible. A lot of times when we talk about the freedom of Christ, we think that freedom is autonomy to do whatever we want. And that's not what freedom is. That's not what the freedom that we got. The freedom that we got is a change of lordship. We were taken out of Satan's kingdom, and we were put into Christ's kingdom. The Christian cannot fulfill both. He cannot walk in both worlds. He cannot please the spirit and the flesh. One has to go so the other can live. Our passion has to be to Christ. He's our first love, and if we abide in his word, his love, we will not have time to seek other things that make us condemn our very souls. I know many have been taught it's okay to celebrate holidays and, or should I say holy days, but holidays or things that the world does again. Ask yourself, is it from God? And if it's not from God, because we can find that easily in His Word, then who is it from? God removed holy days that were in Scripture. So how can we introduce something that isn't? Right? We can't add to His Word. We can't take away from His Word. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The person that does that loses their share in the tree of life. Paul taught on this in Galatians 4, 9 through 11. They were dealing with this. Yes. I'm thinking, yeah, 9 through
11. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, I'll turn ye again to the weak and beggarly element, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain.
So Paul's saying that these things are contrary to the work that Christ sent him to do. Remember, you do what you do because it is ordained by the word of Christ. That's it. And then we're happy to do that, whatever that is. This is a warning. This is a pattern, and it's never going to change. It's us who's got to change. Religious worship is due to none but Him who is by nature God. Any attempt to worship God or Christ contrary to scriptural authority is in vain. Think about this. If God didn't command or create the practice of something, then He isn't getting the glory. The one who instituted it is. That's why we stay far away from it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Remember, we as believers and followers of Christ test all things. And if it isn't in His Word, we withdraw. We reject it. We stay away from it. We must understand the difference between our fleshly desires and the will of God. Romans 13:14, make no provision for the flesh. I assure you that everything that will become a conflict in your life will be right here. It'll be something that you want to do in your flesh. That should be your first red flag. How can I be following God if I'm following my own flesh? But I like it. But I want to go. It's okay. Well, if it's okay, let's find it in God's Word. We have a spiritual conduct to uphold and to maintain. Others in the world are watching what we do. He's sending us to bring the gospel to save others. But if I'm partaking in the same deeds that they partake in, how can I convert them to Christ? In that same verse, he says, to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God desires for us to do. We already know the answer. He would be doing exactly what his father was doing, kingdom work. This is what's going on in his mind and should be in ours. People are going to spend eternity in torment. God forbid it was someone we had the opportunity to influence or a connection with. He's already sent them, or he's ready to send them as soon as we're ready to give people the gospel. The minute that I had enough knowledge and wisdom to be able to share the gospel with someone and I was praying, I couldn't keep up with the people that were coming. Isn't that something? But I did have to study and be able to explain through the scriptures, not my own explanation, not what I believe, but what God said. Romans 6 is the state of our new life. We were changed in that moment by surrendering to God all that we have, becoming new in Him. Romans 12, again, we are not to become conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Matthew 13:22, the seed is sown among the thorns, the one who hears the word, but the cares of this life or of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Ephesians 4:23, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's what we're looking for. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in the righteousness and the holiness. That's the model. Test and prove what pleases the Lord. Ephesians 5:10, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now is the time to be doing the Lord's will. That's what he called us for. There's a lot going on out here, and I know it can be distracting, and that's Satan's game. That's exactly what he uses and what he knows works. It's been successful, and it will probably be successful until the end of time. This new nature we have is a tremendous blessing. Each and every day that we have, we need to wake up, embrace the fact that God opens your eyes again. My brother Mark always inspires me. He says, who is he going to put in front of me today? That's beautiful. That's awesome. He wakes up looking for souls who need to be saved. When you change your vision like that, things start coming into your area or your environment. That's what God called us for. That's what he needs us to do, to seek and to save those that are lost. I want you to know that my experience here has been a loving family. I'm overjoyed. I thank God for it every day. It's not a judging family. We basically teach what's in the Word, and we live by what's in the Word. And I'm glad that I don't have to be ashamed for speaking that. I thank everybody for that. So upon this message, if there's anybody that needs to repent, if there's anyone who needs to rededicate, I don't say that often whenever I've done teaching, but I was one myself who, 7 years ago, rededicated. Walked into the building for the sole purpose of rededicating my life. And I ain't missed a meeting. I ain't missed an opportunity to study or to be here. Period. That's what this is about. Just like those people in the Hall of Faith, they did everything that God asked them to do, and he wants the same from each and every one of us. So we know we've heard the word. We know God asked that we believe what we heard, that we confess that he is the Christ, that those who want to put him on in baptism and remain faithful until they depart. While we sing this song, if there's anybody that those needs meet, come forward.